better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. Rod is on. I assume it's the Rod on I-40, but we'll go ahead and have him in. What's going on, Rod?
Yeah, I'm up here visiting with Bigfoot today. I'm on 412, so yeah, I figured I'd call in between Bud Cussle and, Hooterville and say hello to Nick. Good to hear you, Nick.
What's up, man? How you been?
Not too bad. You're absolutely right. Finish is the key. You have to finish. I was wondering when somebody get around to that, but I got a beef today, man. Hamburgers with no hamburger. Excuse me, I don't try to make your salad out of hamburger, so please don't try to make my Big Mac or whatever out of lettuce. I'm just not really into that.
So you're talking about your lack of
the new Burger King burger?
Yeah. You know what? What's a miracle is? If I ever eat one of those things, because my wife bought some tofu burger one night by mistake, brought that thing home on them freezer things, and I made one by mistake. That'll never happen again.
Mm.
Now, I got nightmares. I mean,
the plant-based burgers, is that what it is now? This is all the rage. Which I still don't understand why people would want that, but either way. So you're talking about, Rod, just having a lack of beef on your hamburgers, essentially what you're referring to.
Yeah, where's the beef? I mean, I don't want kale on my hamburger, right? You know what I'm saying? Hey, and I sure don't want it in my hamburger.
Do you youngins remember that commercial? That's probably way before your time. The old lady in the Wendy's commercial.
Yeah, the beef?
Where's the beef?
Yes. I got that reference.
it ain't here no more. I'll tell you that much for sure.
Yeah.
And, Nick's absolutely right, and that's part of what this team's whole problem is. Not finishing on a play, not finishing on a game. And that's what I was preached to in high school football. Mm-hmm. Always finish. Never give up on a play. Yeah. Ever.
Yeah.
He's absolutely 100% spot on. Yeah. Well done.
Well, appreciate the phone call, Rod, as always, man, and enjoy your time up there. But, you know, as far as the finishing aspect, you know, it's easy to say. It's easy to say that this day, you just got to finish. Go out there and finish. But it's also one of those things, too, that especially if you're the Razorback football team and you've been going through what you've been going through over the past few years, it's not just something that you just decide, all right, I'm going to finish today. You know, it's like a culture, and it's something that's built into you. And honestly, I believe that it's not going to be something that you're able to do until you actually do it. Like, if they would have been able to finish that game against Texas A&M, if they would have been able to drive down the field, pass,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that would have, of course, opened up everything to where now it's no longer about, oh man, they're going to screw this up. It's more about, hey, this team actually has some evidence, something to hold their hat on to say, you know, we finished before. So from the rest of the season, if they ever get in that situation again, it's like we can get there. But the problem is like there's not just some recipe. There's not just some, you know, you can't sit down with Tony Daniels or whatever his name is, and he's going to be able to make it happen to where it's like, hey, this is how you do it. This is how you fix it. It's not that simple. So, you know, it's about finishing, but I don't think that's just something that, you know, can be just done.
How much of it is on the players and how much of it is on the coaching? Because that's what I really struggle with. And I kind of start with, and I am not saying that Brett Bielema should still be here. So please, everybody, clean out your ears before I say this. He wouldn't have went 2-10.
No.
We all consider him as being an awful head coach that would have doubled up what a coach that's supposed to fix things has done. Now, obviously, too, Chad Morris, he's coming into a new situation. I think it's kind of been, you know, I think he's kind of said in so many words, he probably would have never recruited any of the guys that are actually on campus.
Right.
Or that were on campus whenever he got here and he took the baton from Brett Bielema. So how much of this is on the coaching, and then how much of this do you think is on the players?
Well, that's the toughest thing, because, again, we're not in the locker room. We don't know what's been done. We know that in the off season, with all these different camps that they had going on and the coaching staff and all that, it was about getting more mentally tough. You know, they had the thing where they took away all the Razorback gear from these guys and made them earn it back.
Yeah.
They had the things where they had some of the military guys come in and try to teach them and help them out with getting mentally tough. Because at the end of the day, that's what finishing is all about, is about being mentally tough enough to go out there and execute the plan and get it done. So I honestly, when it comes to that, I mean, it's going to be a little bit on both, but I always put it more so on the coaches themselves, because as a player, and maybe you can refer more to this, Nick, but as a player, mental toughness is something you got to do yourself too, but it's also having a confidence in your coach and in the game plan and in what you guys are trying to do, knowing that, hey, if we make this happen, if we do what we're supposed to do, it's going
to
work.
So you guys go to the gym, right? I've seen
on occasion.
You guys, you guys dabble. Are buff, you know, you guys.
Oh yeah, we're
chiseled.
Slow.
Yeah. So you get on the treadmill, you know, you guys, I don't know how much treadmill time you put in, but you get on there and you say, all right, I'm putting 5 miles in. And, you know, when you first start out, you get about, half a mile in, and you start, your mind starts thinking about all the reasons why.
Yeah.
Oh, my hip, my hamstring.
I'm not going to make it to five.
My knee.
All these things, you know, okay, maybe two's good.
Yeah.
You know, you start talking yourself into quitting, right? And then, okay, you get 2 miles in, you get 2.5 miles in, and then you start smelling the finish line a little bit. I can make this. Then you start talking yourself into doing it, and then you get to the finish line, and you realize, I can do this. And then you go back 2 days later, and you do 5 miles again, and then you do it again. And then it's, you know what? The next time, you're 1.5 miles in, you ain't even thought about quitting. And that's the thing. You just got to do it. You got to do it 2 or 3 times in order to realize, I can do this. This is well within my range. Why do you think Alabama never doubts the fact that they could win if and when they find themselves down 7 with 3 minutes to go?
Because they've done it before.
Why does Tom Brady never worry about completing a 2-minute drive down 3 or down 7 with 1.5 minutes to go?
He's done it before.
Exactly. But there's a lot of us that get on the treadmill. We're 3/4 of a mile in. We're already trying to slow the pace down. My side's hurting here. You know, I don't think I can do this. You know, why? Because we don't believe in ourselves. It comes back to self-belief, you know?
So how do you overcome that? How do you get to the...
Do it. You got to tough it out. You got to get to the other side. Problem is, when you're on the treadmill, no one's really stopping you other than you.
Yeah.
In football, someone's out there trying to stop you. You got to overcome them. Not just pushing the button and going smoking a cigarette, you know, instead of running your 5 miles.
Yeah. And it's funny that you bring that up too, Tommy, because what was the old adage for a long time in college football when it dealt with the Clemson Tigers? Clemsoning was a thing.
No, that's a good
It was when they knew that if the game was on the line or if there was a way to lose a game, Clemson was going to find a way to lose a game.
That's right.
Now, no one's saying that anymore. Everyone looks at Clemson as being one of the premier college football programs and might even win the championship this year. We'll see. But once they overcame that Clemsoning adage, and like you said, did it a few times, then it became to where it's more of a culture thing more so than it, because players have changed. Hey. It's a culture thing that gets instilled. Yeah.
I'll never forget, we were in the press box there in Houston when Arkansas was playing Texas. What was that, 2014?
Yes. 2014, yep.
And on the TV before the game was Clemson playing Oklahoma and whatever bowl game that was. And they absolutely just curb stomped, just drug Oklahoma that day. It's like 41-0. And I think that's really where Clemson got this recent run started. I mean, I'm not saying that one game's what built the program, but can you imagine the confidence that instilled in them for 2015 and beyond? And you look at what happened from that game on, Clemson's been a powerhouse. I mean, sometimes you have to go and take down a giant. And I think that's what Arkansas is going to have to do at some point. And I don't know if it's going to be this year, but at some point they're going to have to beat Bama. They're going to have to beat a good LSU team. They're going to have to beat a really good Auburn team. I don't know that A&M is going to be good enough to be in that category. They're going to have to beat a team like that to really believe, yeah, we can cross to the other side.
The problem,
and they're nowhere near ready to do that at this point.
Well, and then the problem with that is, here's what's going to happen: they're going to beat Alabama and LSU in a season that they still only win 6 or 7 games, and that's what we're facing right now. There's been so much losing that I feel like they need to go an entire season So Arkansas needs to have one of those Bobby Petrino runs where you're, what was it, 20, what was he, 22-5?
21-5.
21-5, where you're 21-5 over a couple of seasons, because that's what's missing right now is the confidence. You remember under Petrino, the confidence bled through to the fans.
He didn't even worry about
to
losing.
The point. Yeah. And, you know, like, there were a bunch of games. If the guys didn't have that confidence, you know, Arkansas was about to lose to Vandy.
Yeah.
Is that Vandy that fumbled on the goal line and Jerry Franklin ran it back 100 yards?
Yep, and they missed the field goal to win it at the end.
You just found a way.
And like, that's really the biggest difference now and really in the past is that Arkansas is finding a way to lose all of these close games.
Yeah. Well, it was like when we were watching the game, the Texas A&M game, we're over at Tommy's house, and, you know, we all kept saying, even when Arkansas got up into the lead and it was late, it was like, we all know how this ends. We all know how it's going to go.
And I think half of the team thinks that way, too.
I
think half of the team was like, man, I kind of hope we can do this. Whereas Petrino, as long as you were not getting beat by 100, you always thought you were going to win.
Yeah, because if there was 3 or 4 minutes on with Arkansas with the ball and they had to drive down the field for a touchdown to win it, I felt like, no, they got it. They gave us too much time. It's over. I mean, you just had that mentality. And again, and I agree with you, Tim, Nick, I think that it bleeds over into not only the fan base, but when the players have that mentality where they know that, listen, we got it. We're good. We know what to do. We're going to pull it off. We know how to execute it, and we're going to make it happen.
And I'll even say this and then throw it back to you. Even in which, obviously, I'm not on campus every single day. I drive through campus, though, at times. But I've been on campus since, you know, the Petrino era and, like, those guys. And you should just see how, you know, Joe Adams – and you were around, too, how Joe Adams used to walk around, Jarius Wright – Greg Childs, Chris Gregg, Tyler even, and not even like they were walking around like this wasn't like, I'm the man, everybody bowed out to me, but they just would walk around and you could just see the confidence oozing out of them regardless of who they were playing that week. If it was Alabama, LSU, Florida, it didn't matter. And like, that's missing. That is for sure missing. If you get around some football players now, it's just not the same. The confidence isn't there.
Hey, Cadillac, Chevrolet, and Nissan, if you're looking for one of those vehicles, look no further than Orr Auto Park at 6500 Auto Park Drive in Fort Smith. The Orr Auto Park staff will work with you to put you behind the wheel of the Cadillac, Chevrolet, and Nissan vehicle you want at an affordable price. And as a leading Cadillac, Chevrolet, and Nissan dealer, Orr Auto Park also has a wide variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs for you to choose from. Visit orrautopark.com and browser selection and get pre-approved today where you can score more with Orr. And I think another example of that, guys, and here's kind of the other side of the coin if you want to look at it. I know I felt it. I know we weren't working together, so maybe you guys felt it or felt differently, but I felt like in 2014, we're speaking about that year, when Arkansas had beaten and shut out Ole Miss or LSU and Ole Miss back-to-back years or back-to-back weeks, when they were able to do that, I felt like that was the point in time when the floodgates were going to open. That they finally got over that hump. They finally finished a game. They finally put it all together in four quarters. Now that they got that confidence, especially in back-to-back weeks.
Did they go to a bowl game that year?
Yeah, they went to the Texas Bowl against Texas.
Okay, gotcha.
So they ended up losing to Missouri at the end of the season, but Brandon Allen wasn't healthy for that. That's neither here nor there. The point was is that when they got those big wins, which LSU and Ole Miss were big wins, they were top 20 teams, then that's when everyone felt like this is when the floodgates are going to open. And then the next year in 2015, you start the season off losing to Toledo and Texas Tech. So it kind of puts you behind. But then you had a 5-3 SEC record. You had a nice win against LSU down in Baton Rouge. You went to the Liberty Bowl, which, I mean, it's the Liberty Bowl, but you got a victory there and you thought that you were going to take that next step the next year. And then you didn't. And then you kept going back. So even if Arkansas was able to pull off a victory or two that was nice victories against good teams where it seemed like they put it all together, you still got to look at it in perspective and say, okay, is this actually going to be something that they build upon, or was this a fluke? Was this something that they just got up for this 1 week or these 2 weeks in a row, or is this actually something being built, a foundation being laid? Because there is a staunch difference in between those things.
I understand where you're coming from, but you're trying to talk me into accepting four wins.
I don't want to do that.
But I understand what you're coming from, though, because if they win two SEC games, and they win four games on the year or five games on the year, whatever. Or even if they win one SEC game and they win four games on the year, technically that's an improvement. But I am not okay with signing off on somebody winning four games. Mm-hmm. Now, you're kind of handcuffed. There's nothing really that you can do because there's a 0% chance. I mean, like, Chad Morris could lose the rest of the games and lose them pretty bad. It's just, there's just not a way that you can fire him at this particular time. So I hear what you're saying, but it's just, I mean, it's just impossible for me to sign up for four wins and be like, oh, well, that's an improvement and act like that's okay. Like, yeah. That's just never going to happen.
No, which I get, and I totally get. But I'm looking at it from, and I know that the wins aren't all created equal. Let's just be honest about it, because 2014 was different because you had two SEC games against two top 20 teams. But even this season, after that victory against Colorado State, it felt like, or you, at least you were hopeful for, the fact that they had put together some nice offensive drives, which they haven't been able to do, and they finished the game in the fourth quarter. They outscored Colorado State 21-0 in the fourth quarter. I know it's Colorado State. I know. But you felt like, hey, they finished out a fourth, because they weren't even finishing fourth quarters against anybody. Yeah. Anybody under Chad Morris. And they felt like, okay, they finally did it this time. So maybe having that belief that they've done it before, yep, they'll be able to do it again. And then the next week completely and totally obliterated any of that confidence and any of those feelings by losing to San Jose State. Yeah. And that's why I'm going back to, it just can't be this shot in the pan or flash in the pan where you got it and it feels good for a time being. It's got to be over an extended period of time where it becomes habitual. Winning is habitual, Tommy.
You can't birdie one hole and triple bogey the next.
Yes, exactly. Because what does that get you still? What happens to that birdie? Pretty much erases it.
Like a strike in bowling followed by two gutter balls.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that whole strike, yeah, it felt good. But at the end, it gets ruined.
You rolled it down there. You knocked them all down. You turned around. You strutted to your friends. Yep. You picked up your beer. You waved to the crowd.
Had your club dub there and in the lanes right there. Going to get your nachos, yeah.
And then you turn around the next time you're up and you threw it in the gutter twice.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, but that's...
Or worse, you skipped over the gutter and you went into the next lane.
Yeah. Or you slipped and fell and you went down the lanes itself. Yeah, whatever.
And, something.
And
you know?
I don't know if beating Van Buren was a strike. Like, I'm not sure if beating Colorado State is considered a strike. I think... That's like, oh, you knocked down six pins, well, just, and then you threw two or three gutters.
Right, I'm just saying playing good 1 week and then turn around and then barfing on yourself is not – you got to have consistency. That's what John's saying, is you better, provide some consistency in your performance.
Yeah, because, like, they play Kentucky next week, and Kentucky's not a good football team. I mean, they're plagued with injuries. They may be playing their fourth
string. Arkansas's not a great football
team. Well, I know, but that's what I'm
saying. They're playing them where?
In Lexington.
And it's like a special day, isn't it?
Jared Lorenzen Day, yeah. Well, no, but my point is that they're not playing Bama next week. They're playing an SEC team. Not saying they should beat them, but they're playing a beatable SEC team.
A game where both teams it's a must win for both teams.
Yes, I mean, they're both got a bye week. They both have time. They both have time to get healthy. But it's a matter of looking at that next week's game, and we'll see how everybody gets healthy and who was, and Starkle's going to be going and all that. But I don't know what team is going to show up on that Saturday against Kentucky. Because I have, and through five games, I have seen completely different teams each game. It's not like I'm getting the same team.
I don't know. I mean, I think that it's the same team. You're just getting, they're just playing against different opponents. Because, and this is just me, I still haven't seen a good football team. Like,
I'm not saying I have either.
Out of the five games. Because even in the game where you came back and beat Colorado State, so it took you to score 21 points unanswered for you to win by whatever they ended up winning by. And
21 points.
And Colorado State didn't catch one break. Thank God they didn't catch any breaks.
Yeah.
Because had they have caught a couple of breaks. And then, hold on. Was Colorado State playing their backup quarterback?
Yeah.
He was actually better than their starter.
Yeah, he was better statistically. Yeah.
And so it's like we just can't put all the weight of, okay, man, you know, after they beat Colorado State with the second string guy, Colorado State's going to go on to win three games this year or four games this year. And so I think that we've seen the same bad football team. They've just been playing against different opponents.
Yeah. Hey, the fall celebration is on at Crabtree RV in Alma. Take advantage of our RV show pricing that's on right now with hundreds of new models, including Deer Hunter specials that start under $10,000. Wholesale to the public prices on dozens of pre-owned RVs. If you're getting ready for deer season here in about a month, now is the time, and you'll find the most money for your trade at Crabtree RV in Alma. These deals are so good, it's scary during their fall celebration. And topping it off, they're going to have a trunk or treat event on Saturday, October 19th at 6 p.m. So bring the kids out and celebrate fall at Crabtree RV in Alma. Crabtree RV, it's where your family's dreams come true.
And the thing is when I was looking at seeing different teams, obviously I have not seen a good football team yet. And that's not what I was trying to say. I was trying to say that we have seen teams that has been ready to play. And then we've seen teams that haven't been ready to play. We've seen teams that looks like they were getting it going and having some pieces here and there. And then we've seen a team that looks totally and completely lost. And as we discuss, and I know it's always hindsight and you always look back on things, but if Arkansas would have played the way they did against Texas A&M, the way they did against Ole Miss, or of course San Jose State, they win those games and they probably win those games going away. But they didn't. They played well against A&M. And that's all well and good. Not you obviously didn't play well enough to win, but you know, you didn't play well against these other teams. And it's just like if you could have some consistency in your preparation and your mentality and your execution and stop getting stupid penalties, like not knowing up when where to line up so many times, like small, fundamental, basic discipline things, that right there is enough and a difference enough to where you could win at least the games you're supposed to.
Well, now, I'll tell you this. I hate to bust your bubble. You know, the opponents also do the same exact things.
I have not seen as many, and maybe I just haven't watched as much college football.
And I'm telling you what happens. What happens is as Arkansas fans or Arkansas supporters or Arkansas media, which you know, to all the fans out there, all of us are fans to some level. But for Arkansas fans, we just pay attention to Arkansas and what they're doing wrong and how, man, if they just could have ran this play different. You don't think every team in the country every week that they lose or even win could have done something different. So I think Arkansas is even further away than what a lot of people are saying. Because a lot of people are like, oh, well, if you'd have made a couple plays against A&M, you could have beat them. A&M didn't play the same way against Arkansas that they played against Auburn a couple weeks ago. Like, I promise you. So if A&M wouldn't have made a couple mistakes, they may have won by 30.
Yeah.
And so that's what I have to caution everybody on, that all you're saying is your team's going to improve and your team cannot make penalties and make certain plays at certain times. But, I mean, like, everybody improves throughout the year. So, now what happens whenever other teams stop making those mistakes and now you're lined up against each other once again? Mm-hmm. I just don't see it. I just don't think it's there right now.
Yeah, but it's a matter of not beating yourselves. And people just have this mentality that that's what Arkansas does more often than not. They beat themselves.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
There are a lot of other factors that are out there, but yes, if the right guy can get in here and get the right players coming through, this is a sleeping giant.
Well, let me ask you this, because I know it's all about, you know, hearsay and hindsight, but just say that if Eric Musselman happened to get, and I don't think this is going to happen, but say there was another Malik Monk type of player come through the state of Arkansas, where it's just that once in a generation type player that is just an automatic guy. Does Eric Musselman and how he handles recruiting and how he handles talking to players and how he handles on selling them, would it be a lot easier, or at least better for Arkansas to have him in place because he would be better suited to get that player to come to Arkansas when he's getting calls from Kentucky, from Duke, from North Carolina, from all these places? Is he better suited to try to get those kids to stay home in Arkansas?
Honestly, it depends on whose side you're on. I can argue for or against. My argument for, of course, he's been at the NBA level. One of my best friends in the world, Courtney Fortson, loves him. He had him in the D League whenever he was with the I can't remember the name, but. Coach Musselman coached him. He thinks he's great. He thinks he's great with X's and O's. He knows how to talk to guys. So there is one side that can tell you, okay, he has that experience, how he's operating right now on the circuit and in the recruiting or whatever. He has that. But then there's another side that's going to say, like, you think posting a few pictures was the difference in Mike Anderson getting Malik Monk or not getting Malik Monk?
You think
a shout out on Twitter or him being enthusiastic during the in-home visit was a difference in Mike getting Kevon Allen or not getting Kevon Allen. I mean, those weren't the differences. So it just depends on what side you're trying to argue. The people that are Mike supporters are going to argue what I just said. Like, hey, even if this guy was here, if Kentucky and Florida at the time came knocking. Because remember, when Kayvon went to Florida, he committed to Billy Donovan.
Yeah.
And they were a top three or four program in the country. And then, of course, when Malik went to Kentucky, Kentucky is still a top, you know, four or five program. So I'm not one of those guys that just says, oh, yeah, now that Mike is gone, they're really going to get Moses Moody. I think that Moody was going to take an official visit to Arkansas, even if I was the head coach.
Yeah. Well, and because here's the thing, too, is that I guess the frustration comes into where if you look at the past 10 years of Razorback basketball specifically, it was where you had, it's kind of like you had a half and half. You had really good players, or at least a couple, a few really good players, great players, come to Arkansas because they wanted to be Razorbacks. Bobby Portis, guy like Daryl Macon, when Dusty Hannah, guys just who wanted to be Razorbacks. And you had, those are really good players. Yeah. Obviously, some of them were playing in the NBA like Gafford and Portis, but these guys were guys that wanted to be Razorbacks. And then you had the other side of it where you had the guys that were in Arkansas that, I don't know, maybe there was part of them that wanted to play for the Razorbacks, but they ended up not, like the Malik Monks and the Kayvon Allen and Archie Goodwin. All these guys. Yeah. So it's a matter of, can Eric Musselman still get those kids that want us to be Razorbacks and just add a couple? He doesn't have to get all of them. I mean, he'd love to get all of them, but can he just be able to add some of those pieces? Because the last thing you want to do here in the next 10 years is have it to where you have a lot of great talent, a lot of good players, and you get a few of them, but then the rest of them that maybe you could have, should have gotten, ends up what's keeping you from being that next level program.
So I'm going to bust everybody's bubble just a little bit. There won't be another class anytime soon that's like this 2020 class. Especially if you're adding in, if you're somebody that considers KK Robinson to be in this class, a kid that was at Bryant that now is at Oak Hill, Moses Moody, if you're considering him an in-state kid, Gerald Doakes, that's a name that we haven't heard in a while. If you're considering those guys in-state kids for the 2020 class to go along with Jalen Williams, to go along with Devontae Davis, to go along with Chris Moore, if you're considering all that to be the 2020 class, these next upcoming classes are not like that. So even if I say yes, I think Eric Musselman is going to be able to get whoever he wants from the state of Arkansas, there's not any more Malik Monks coming.
No.
And just depending on who you ask, there may not be even any more Kayvon Allens, because everybody's looking at him now and him as a finished product. Man, when Kayvon was in the 9th, 10th grade, like, there was a huge argument. Now, these guys didn't know basketball as well, but there was a big argument between who's better out of him and Malik at that point in time. So I think that Musselman, and he understands it too, he can't just rely on Arkansas, because you're not going to get that stretch where you have James Anderson and Archie and Gafford and Monk and Portis and Macon and Hannes. You're not going to have all those guys coming through at one time. You may be able to pick a piece here and there, but he's going to have to go outside of the state. And I think he realizes that.
Who remind me again, who's the kid down at Magnolia that's supposed to be?
Darian Ford.
Yeah, the Ford. Where does he, you just mentioned a bunch of great players that have come from the state over the last 10 or 12 years. You said there's not another Monk coming. I know there's a lot of people that think he's, you know, somewhere in the same sentence, though. Is that not not accurate?
That's not accurate.
He's still young and he's developing.
Yeah, that's not accurate. And like, this isn't hating on the kid. The kid can play basketball.
Yeah. Well, but Monk was just a once in 20-year player.
And a lot of people have to remember, like, y'all, you remember, Kai Madden was a top 35 player.
Yeah. He was.
And so I just can name you like 10 other people. Mm-hmm. And now the one thing, though, Darian Ford is focused only on basketball. There are a lot of these dudes that I know that and we grew up around each other that were focused on other things other than basketball. Will that change for Darian Ford? Maybe so. He's 15 right now. So, yeah. I mean, you know, when we're 15 and when we're 20, you know, our thoughts are.
That's 25% more life.
Our night and day. So he's not a Malik, but yes, he's in the same category as Kai Madden and
I mean, you see a lot of summer ball project what kind of impact you could have. Where will his game be in 3 to 4 years, in your opinion?
I think he'll be like a year one impact guy. Not necessarily. He's not going to take you to the tournament himself. But I mean, what freshman can take you to the tournament? So I mean, Kevin Durant and Michael Beasley, which are all time great college basketball players. So now he's definitely a guy that the Razorbacks need. That you get on the staff, he has a chance of being a pro, works really, really hard. And the big thing about him, though, and we were talking about this about the football team, he is a winner. He's a big-time winner. He wins games, he makes winning plays, and he works hard. So I think that he is as much of a culture guy to help your culture as much as he is, you know, a four-star and a big-time player.
Hey, call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963 here on the Morning Rush. We're brought to you by World of Wireless, 877-305-DISH. You can lock in your price for 2 years right now with World of Wireless, and you can also bundle with internet. You might be worried right now about making the move to another television provider because, well, I got my internet service bundled in with my TV package. Don't worry about that when you call World of Wireless, because they can do the same thing for you, whether it's with one of the national companies, the cable company, or maybe you live rurally and you're worried about losing the service you have. They might be able to improve the service you have. Go to wowfastinternet.com and find out if you live in the coverage area for their local internet service called wowfastinternet.com. Just go to wowfastinternet.com and find out if you live in the coverage area. That's World of Wireless. Call 877-305-DISH for all the details.
Got a text message through the Cherokee Casino Hotline. This is actually perfect because this was going to be my next question to you, Nick. This comes from the 479 and says, what's Nick's thoughts on landing McBride? Now that the Kansas situation has happened, he's left Kansas. He was on campus talking with Eric Musselman. What are the chances that that develops into something?
That's a really good question. This is what the coaching staff is going to have to figure out. McBride's not going to be able to play until 2020. So he's basically in the 2020 class. Now,
could he apply for a waiver at all, or because of the situation?
He could, but he's not going to win. Okay. He'd be in the 2020 class. So right now in the 2020 class, then that means McBride's on the table, in state kid. KK Robinson's on the table, in state kid, and Devontae Davis is on the table, in state kid. You cannot take all three of them. You just can't. And I don't even know if you can take two out of the three, because even if you do take those two, just wait until the red-white game and you see everybody on Arkansas's team is 6'6" and a half, except for Vanover. Like, that's an issue.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have to get some more bigs in here, and you're going to have to get some you know, combo four big-time wings, because that's Eric Musselman's brand of basketball, and that's how he's going to be able – to win. He's also on a 5-star in the 2021 class, the Kennedy Chancellor kid or whatever. I'm sure I butchered his name. But and so that's a really difficult question, because it's not just, hey, you have a scholarship available right now, let's take McBride. It is, who do you want out of McBride, KK Robinson, and Devo? And then if you really think you're going to get Moses Moody, and I think this coaching staff has more faith in their ability to get Moses Moody than I do, If you really think you have a shot at him, you definitely can't take two of these guards, because you can't take three guards in a class for a team that doesn't have experienced bigs.
So if they were able to pull that off, and if they were able to get Moses Moody to come to Arkansas,
oh wow!
I mean,
that'd be a big one.
Yeah,
and that'd be like one of those type of recruits that not only do you get him. So the reason Arkansas really missed out on Malik wasn't just because of Malik. It was because of the other guys you're going to be able to get to come play with him, that you were going to be able to recruit to the team. And so if Arkansas is able to land Moody, hopefully it's not at the midnight hour in the last minute.
Yeah.
So they can use that. But even if they can't use it in the 2020 class, they'll be able to use that in other classes, because now he's kicked that door down on a 5-star, top guy or whatever. He's moved to Oak Hill. So it's not like the Bobby Portis thing, where everybody knew that Bobby was coming.
Regardless,
no matter what, Bobby announced it. And, as soon as he got his offer, he committed at that time. It's not one of those. deal. So if Eric Musselman was able to get him, I mean, that alone would earn him, in my opinion, another year or two if he was able to pull that off.
Well, and you could probably speak more on this than I can, but it would seem like that if Eric Musselman was able to kind of almost get some momentum in the recruiting to where if he got, you know, one big guy or one big get, and then, you know, the next year kind of, and he has success that goes along with it, yeah, on the court, and then you're able to get a few more guys, able to have maybe some of these guys get drafted, get put into the NBA. It's almost like just if you can just get off to that start,
yeah,
and recruiting, that's going to get you rolling a lot easier to where now, because I know that what kids that want to, that are in high school basketball now and AAU, and what do they want more than anything? And college basketball, what do they want?
Kids
want
to get to the next level.
Yes.
And kids want to win.
Yes. So if you can do those two things and have not only be able to recruit, but then have guys that get into the NBA under you as a head coach and have some winning to go along with it, to me, that you're always going to have that in your back pocket to be able to tell kids about.
Especially because there's this perception of the Arkansas staff right now that, oh, man, this is like an NBA type staff. Because you got Clay, the coach from the Lakers, or that mm-hmm. was around Lakers. And you know, once people actually change jobs, you don't actually get the full-blown, like, what he was doing. Because, I mean, when I was hearing about Mosier and him coming in or whatever, somebody was telling me he was one of the main assistants. And then, like, you know, I did my homework. And this is no, you know, this is not a shot to him, but it's just saying, as soon as they start getting these guys in and getting these, like, these NBA type players to come in out of high school, as soon as they're able to get one or two, yeah, the floodgates are going to open, because then as they put these other guys in the NBA, now it's going to start being like, yeah, not only was the guy the coach of the Lakers when LeBron first got there or whatever, but, you know, now he's here and he put Moses Moody in the NBA, KK Robinson in the NBA. I'm just
yeah.
Whoever else. And so that's going to begin to grow and grow and grow more and more and more on the recruiting circuit. And that's only going to help Arkansas. But the big key is winning on the court. And once again, I'm not going to assume that any coach is good until I see them in person, you know, coaching the Arkansas Razorback.
Yeah, which is fair. But I believe it was...
Yeah, especially because of
football.
The football team.
Yeah, but wasn't it you that was also saying that when it comes to recruiting in college basketball too, it's also just about more of the assistants and them being the right assistants to make that happen. Like, yeah, everyone thinks that's Calipari walking in, which he does a lot, but it's also his assistant coaches.
Yeah, he seals the deal, but yes, a lot of these assistants, I'm glad you brought that up. And that's something, though, that's a little bit different about Musselman is that he is as hands-on as much as he can be. But yeah, a lot of this stuff is his assistants out here grinding and working hard and working different angles or whatever. Because, and Musselman will even tell you, you know, like, he was more of transfers, and then like a few West Coast guys. So him being now at the University of Arkansas, his recruiting plan has completely turned all the way around, because it's just, you can't just rely on all transfers and West Coast guys if you're going to be the coach at the University of Arkansas.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
All right, it is a Wednesday, which, you know what that means. It is a What's Your Beef Wednesday here on the Morning Rush.
What is wrong with you?
Hey, I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
I want to complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bearings and crap me beans.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
All right, it is a What's Your Beef Wednesday. If you want to get in on the conversation and give us your beefs, be sure to call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. We don't really have rules to this necessarily, but I feel like it's either like you either have to have one big one or like a couple of small ones. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of how my beefs. And I feel like today I probably just have a couple of small ones. I don't have one big thing. But I first want to start off with pita. You love pita, don't you, Tommy? You're a pita guy.
People eating tasty animals.
Yeah. Or what's it actually? The ethical treatment, of animals. I don't know. Whatever. Anyways, we talked about it on Monday when we did the best and the worst of the weekend. And my worst was seeing that Auburn Tiger football player collide with Bully the Bulldog from Mississippi State while he was on the sidelines. You know, not the guy, not the bulldog that's dressed up in a bulldog costume. I'm talking about the actual bulldog. Collided with him. The bulldog got mad, was about to, you know, pounce on the guy, ended up being okay. They took him off the field. Everything was fine. Well, PETA has come out and has demanded that Mississippi State no longer use a live mascot because of this incident on the football field, as well as making a call to anybody in college athletics or any sport that tries to use any live animal as their mascot at these games, because the treatment of them is unethical.
Now, did they call whenever the bull tried to rush the dog? Was that last year?
The bull tried to rush the
dog. Yeah, in Texas. Who was Texas playing against?
Oh, the Longhorns. I know what you're talking about. I don't remember who they played against. Was it who? It was the Sugar Bowl. Okay. Yeah, against Georgia. Okay, there, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean,
they probably did.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like they probably would have.
Well, either they should have called then, or if the call didn't work then it's not going to work now.
Yeah. But, listen, the Bulldog's fine. He's doing fine. I just don't understand why this has to become such an outrage big deal with stuff like this.
And I like the live animals. Did y'all see the dog that runs and gets the tea?
Yeah. That's cool stuff. That's like cool to see.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, okay, so who has the cool? Is it LSU have the coolest one because it's a tiger? I mean, because having a tiger is pretty impressive.
The dog that runs and gets the tea, though.
No, like, that's impressive. That takes training.
That's pretty cool.
And a tiger might be the actually most dangerous.
Literally, yeah. Because right. Could you imagine if, like, the cage broke or something? You'd have that place clearing out.
Right.
So, yeah, that may be. It's definitely the most fearsome one
right.
of them all. And Tusk is cool because, hey, listen, it's unique.
And Tusk could wreck some havoc.
Yeah, I don't want to mess with those.
I'm not messing with Mike the Tiger.
No. Because I don't know if Florida has a gator, which would probably be pretty intimidating as well. I don't know if they actually have a live gator that comes onto the field.
Well, they're creatures that live in water, so that, you know.
I mean, hey, people find ways, Tommy.
I understand.
People find ways. So, but, yeah, I don't know. Some people with PETA just sticking their nose and stuff like this.
All right, so let me just call an audible here. I'll piggyback off yours.
All right.
Listen, I'm all for the humane treatment of animals.
Of course.
No one should abuse animals.
Of course.
But at the same time, let's not pretend like the life of an animal is more valuable than the life of a human, right?
Of course.
And that some of these people get carried away with this to the point that
it's equal. Everything's equal.
No, it's not. Sorry, I'm giving you my opinion.
Yeah.
A human life is more valuable, at least in my opinion. Now, you can send those cards and letters to John Neighbors.
Yep.
That's P.O. Box.
I'll read them on the air.
But that just irks me. You want to know what my beef is when people try to say, you know, well, this extinct animal or this whatever is more valuable than that a human life should be lost ahead of this animal's life. That's just crazy to me.
Well, yeah, but if an animal's about to be extinct, we can get another John Neighbors. We can't get
I don't know.
Any more
bald
eagles.
There's only one.
There's only, even though the girl at Sassy's didn't know who you were. There's only one.
So are we allowed to beef with sponsors?
No.
Okay.
I know Tommy's answer to that.
I don't know where you're going.
And NWPG, I am disappointed in Sassy's.
And not knowing
guy,
who he is?
Hey, and my guy ran down there for not educating all of the employees. Yeah, like, bro, she didn't know who you were.
I mean, and that was just very emphatic by the fact she had no idea who I was.
And she was a lookalike, too, by the way.
She looked like AOC.
Yes.
She looked like AOC.
Yes.
In fact, that was the first thing I saw. I was like, I didn't know AOC was working at Sassy's. No, but that's who she looked like.
Hey, okay, I have another quick one. Tommy, I need you to put your finger next to the button that allows my mic to go on and off. So if I start going down the wrong path.
No, that's a good sign. That's a good start here.
And I'm just going to start it with, I hate how sensitive that we are, and I hate that I even have to start it with, hey, Tommy, cut my mic off if I go down the wrong path. So, you know, as you're going out of any building, any store in America, the one thing that is always there is, you know, the button that you can push for the doors to automatically open.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, just one of them you hit and it opens.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's doors. Designed for people that have
Correct. Correct. But it is a button to push.
Yes, it is.
And once again, get your finger.
Okay.
It's working. So, it's right.
So, and this is my only complaint for the stores that are being cheap. So when I push the button the first time and the first door's open, but you have two sets of doors. So do I all of a sudden not need the button anymore? Like, I just don't understand why both doors don't open when I push the button at the beginning. I didn't all of a sudden, like, if I need that button, I still need it for the second set of doors.
You didn't want to stand in, what do they call it, a vestibule or whatever, the little space in between the outer door and the inner door?
Yes, I believe whenever you push the button, that you should get access to both doors. It's not like...
That's fair.
Especially for people that need it, because they don't just all of a sudden not need it anymore.
Yeah, they don't get into the foyer and then they don't need
like,
it.
Oh, I'm...
I'm good.
Anyway, but yes, so, you know, that's my beef. That when I push that button, I need both sets of doors to open.
It's pretty specific.
And I do push the hell out of that button, so...
Is that make you a bad person when you use those buttons
no.
and use
is
those
that,
things?
The fact that I still don't put my sharpening card back makes me a bad person.
No, that is make you a bad person.
Is that a cousin to parking in a handicap spot?
No.
No, that's different.
I don't really think. But hold on. Let me ask you about that, though. If there are 15 that are open, would you think 15 people that need it are going to pull up at one time? I've never had that happen to
me
before.
I just think it could create bad karma for you.
It could. But okay.
Oh,
well,
no.
Hold on a second. What about using the handicap stall in the bathroom? Because there are ones that are...
Oh, I'm not going to tell you. When I got to go and I need to get comfortable, you know,
it's got room to spread out.
Y'all are going straight to hell.
It's got the railing, too. So, you know, if it need to get... It helps you get up and everything. It's just a more appealing stall.
And I'm going to tell you, though.
Going straight to hell.
Hold on. And I'm going to tell you, though. That's the one
front
thing,
of the line.
Though. That's the one thing that I do need to be... better about, because when I gotta go, I don't think about anything about the bathroom, like what stall I'm using or any of that. So,
emergency situations.
But pushing the button, no. Especially like if you're going into a big time establishment that can replace that button as many times as it breaks or shorts.
Well, listen, there is nothing more. I wouldn't say embarrassing, but it's like, you know, you always want to know in certain things of what you do if anybody's looking at you or like. If like you hit one of those buttons and it doesn't work, because then it's like
you're going to hit it again.
Yeah, because then you're going to hit it again, and then you're just going. And if it doesn't work, you look like an idiot because you're just like, this guy can't even open the door. He's a lazy piece of junk.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing this happened to you recently, and that's why you brought it up.
Yes.
Okay.
And I hit the button, and then I started to walk, and I was expecting for the other door to open, and it just did. And this was at like a big time hotel, like really big time. I don't want to tell y'all the hotel name because then y'all know where I was at. But
the Ritz Carlton.
This
folks.
Was
he's been staying at the Ritz.
This Lodge was at a warm.
Oh, okay.
This was at a big time, and then I'm sitting here thinking like. All the money y'all making, and I can't get a double door access off of one button push? Come on, man.
First world problems.
2019.
Yeah. Tommy, I don't know if you even gave yours. I think I've
just horned in on y'all's.
Okay. So. Yeah, I know, because you kind of picked up and piggybacked on all of them. And
those were better than the ones I had.
And I have one more beef, but I have to tell Tommy during the break because I don't want
permission.
Well, no. I'd hate for us about to sell this company some advertisement, and I promise you, when I get done, we ain't selling no advertisement.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's reassuring.
And I got a huge beef with this company. Oh my goodness.
All right. Well, we can get to that. By the way, we got a few people that have been texting in and commenting on what they're beefing with. Randy Williams on Facebook says that he's beefing with the fact that we are not live on Twitter this morning. Well, just to let everybody know, this is a Twitter issue. It's not us.
Yes.
We, for once... are not to blame for technological problems that are happening with our live stream. We're on Facebook Live still. We're on YouTube at Hit That Line AR. So if you want to watch it, go over there. But Twitter is down, having some issues globally. So
yeah. I guess that's one of my beefs. We frequently get comments about issues with delivery of our product. And you say, well, how are you listening? And then you inform us how you're listening, and it's to the wrong frequency. Or the wrong station in the wrong area.
Well, sometimes y'all put dead air in my area.
And so, I mean, but when you're listening to the wrong frequency in the wrong area, or you're listening in an area where we don't serve, I mean, those things just I can't help you.
Because you know what, Tommy? It's never just like, hey, man, quick question. No. Are you guys on in this area? Am I going? It's never that. It's just like, y'all suck.
You're down there.
You're terrible.
You guys
don't know what you're doing over there. Do you know what radio is? And it's always your fault.
How are you listening, sir? Well, you're listening to the wrong station. That's why we're not on there. Why is your show not on this station? Where are you at and what station are you listening to? And they'll tell you. Well, that's the problem. You're listening to the wrong station.
Yeah, they got the numbers wrong.
Hey, I appreciate everybody trying to listen.
Of course.
Let's just listen to the right station in the right area.
And don't just assume that it's always our fault.
It's 99.5 in Northwest Arkansas.
That's right.
95.3 in Fort Smith in the River Valley. 96.3 in Hot Springs and all of Southwest Arkansas. 104.3 in Harrison and Mountain Home. And you can listen to 97.1 in Camden and that whole area in South Arkansas. So, I mean,
and always on hitthatline.com
or ESPN99.5.com. So there are plenty of ways to listen, and just use one of those ways. Don't listen to the country station and wonder why we're not there. Mm. That's all I ask.
Okay. That is a fair beef.
Had this happen about three times this week.
Would that be is that the most annoying comment that we ever get? Because we get some that are pretty like consistent. And on top of that, also the people that think that we have like a knob turned down low on our if a signal doesn't go the way and how far they want it to go. It's like, hey, well, you guys got to do something about this. Let me just turn up the volume knob. Sorry, we had to turn down. We were trying to watch Cheers. We were trying to watch Cheers. We had to turn it down.
I am glad we have added the Cherokee Casino text line. Yes. But some of the things you people text in out there about your signal issues. Well, I mean, listen, if you're listening, you know, in Memphis,
they probably
if you're
were in drinking Memphis, with me at Cherokee Casino, that's why they're texting that.
If you're listening to 100.7 in Memphis and we're not on, I'm sorry, we're not on that station in Memphis. I can't help you. We're working on it.
Oh, I love you people. You guys are great.
I like the Moral Victories one too.
Yeah, yes. I guess of course, we got a lot of them, so I'm having to kind of roll through them all. But we had somebody beefing about with moral victories, or as Chad Morris, he called it a moral loss in his press conference, which I don't know if
he said there are no moral losses.
Well, I guess that's true, because I have never heard of the phraseology of moral loss.
He wasn't going to call it a victory.
No, he wasn't.
It wasn't by accident.
Wes on Facebook says, and see, these are my other beefs, because you know everyone always brings up like a Reggie Fish. They're still beefing with Reggie Fish over that play. Yeah. Wes is beefing with that Jeff Long has never been punished for the battle line rivalry. Well, okay, so of all the things that you're going to get at Jeff Long for,
he got fired.
The battle line rivalry, though, that's the thing that you're going to get on top of him for? Because he didn't get punished for that? All right. Jesse says he's beefing with that when we run the ball out of the shotgun and it takes you too long to develop and the running back doesn't get his head of steam first, seems like the quarterback being under center helps with that less than stellar offensive line. I could be wrong, though. That's fair. I mean, listen,
I'm disappointed you didn't use the phrasing mesh point in there.
Mesh point.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then we would have taken you seriously if you would have used that.
I'm just really disappointed you didn't throw mesh point in there.
Yeah.
It messes up the mesh point.
Yeah. Mesh point. I hate that word.
Makes you sound smarter.
Yeah. Oh, that's what we're all about. Tim, he puts in on Facebook too. He's like, I get mad whenever we keep running the ball straight up the middle sometimes. We do better running the ball around the end, and I think we need to try more stuff like option play or something. Which, I mean, listen.
Run it over there!
Because I remember when it was a Houston Nutt, man, people got tired of him running the ball so much. And if you really think back on it, listen, I'm as much that Houston Nutt hater as anybody, but he was running the ball with Darren McFadden and Felix Jones and Peyton Hillis. So it wasn't like he was rolling out there.
How dare you run it with McFadden?
Yeah, with Tommy Kraft trying to run the ball. Yeah. I mean, he was actually going out there with some NFL running backs trying to do that. Yeah. So, by the way,
what a terrible idea running it with McFadden and Jones.
Great job, Tommy. Now you got so many people texting in about their issues with
I don't want to hear about it.
With our signals and everything.
Don't read a one of them.
Hey, I feel y'all because I feel y'all's pain.
Well, because we have a guy that's in Savannah, Georgia that texted in and says, I'm in Savannah, Georgia, and I hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're listening on hitthatline.com.
I'm tuning my radio in here in Georgia, and I can't hear you.
Oh, good grief. So keep those coming, folks. Anything that you are beefing with or anybody that you're beefing with, call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963.
What's Your Beef Wednesday brought to you today by Burton Pools and Spas. I'm going to need a relaxing hot hot tub after a day like today. Make it part of your day-to-day routine. You can get an instant rebate of $1,000 right now on select hot spring spas. This event's only going to last till part of October. So get by and check them out in Springdale and in Fort Smith. $1,000 instant rebate with a purchase of select hot spring spas right now. It's part of a great way to relax after a workout, a hard day at work, or just make it, like I said, part of your day-to-day routine with a great spa with Burton Pools and Spas. 725 South 48th Street in Springdale. That's just off the I-49 412 exit, or 6121 Zero Street in Fort Smith. And let their staff show you. They got several models set up there on the showroom floor that you can take a look at and see all the different features and all the different enhancements you can add to your hot spring spa. Burton Pools and Spas, online at burtonpools.com. They're your source for backyard fun.
By the way, Dylan in Greenwood texts into our Cherokee Casino hotline, says his beef is that somebody doesn't know John frickin' Neighbors. I mean, who the hell is John Neighbors, right?
Who the hell is John Neighbors?
Now, we got to turn that up. Here we go.
Who the hell is John Neighbors?
Yeah, so emphatic about how she didn't know who I am. Do you think she knows who I am now, Tommy?
Not a chance.
No, I was hoping for it. Open for it. I see. This is the thing. That's how social media works. You just got to get this push, and you got to get it done to where finally, if somebody asks for the John Neighbor special, it'll become something and actually be on the menu.
She knew who Clay Henry was, though.
Well, Clay's got a lot of clout. He's been around a long time.
Hold on. Yeah, girl knew who Clay Henry was.
Yeah, she knew who Ty Richardson was.
Now we know. Yeah. That's the thing. Is Tom? You got? I've been working with Tommy long enough that I can kind of sense. Now, when he's being serious or when he's not,
just telling you what the girl said.
What did you tell her? What did you tell her before you said that? Back?
Did you ask her?
It's understandable. Huh?
Did you ask her if she knew me?
Mm-mm. No, she seemed to be a lady of class. I just assumed she did.
A wholesome girl.
Exactly.
Wholesome guy.
Yeah. Well, she did. Again, she looked like AOC, and I'm just going to say that AOC,
like a nice gal.
AOC's working over there at Sassy's.
Probably didn't run around with sorts like you. So,
well, next time you're there, though, ask for it and see if, you know, you get a similar reaction.
The John Neighbors special?
Yeah.
All right.
No, but you're supposed to ask for it. I bet you went to the wrong one. Which one did you go
your
to?
Your name was brought up, though. Alan did say, hey, I like it when Nick says that's the best catfish on wedding.
Thank you.
He has
so
heard
my
that.
Brother, all you got to do is put me in the commercial.
He did appreciate that.
That's all you got to do.
Great. I'm sitting here and I do the read and I tell everybody about Sassy's, but the one thing that he loves is when Nick Mason just chimes in, best catfish on Weddington.
Right, because it's more authentic.
How?
Well, the read that you were given, did you make it up or did somebody give it to you?
Made it up.
Oh, for real?
I'm handed a menu, and it's like, here, talk about it.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I don't know then.
That's what I'm saying.
Because they like me more than you.
I guess so. Maybe I'm...
That's understandable.
Yeah. So.
And there's also, too, there's two other well-established places on Weddington that serve catfish. So it's always good to beat your competitors.
No, okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's tell the people about Sassy's, and you can tell them about what do they have. What do they have that's the best
on
Weddington?
No. This is how we're going to do it. So you're going to read it all the way through like Tommy does, and then we're going to pause like Gaston's, and then I'm going to say best catfish on Wednesday.
You better hurry.
And then we're going to break.
All right. I'm going to tell you about Sassy's with their two locations in Fayetteville off of College and off of Weddington. They have great barbecue options, some brisket tacos for those of you who love to put brisket inside of tacos. It's fantastic. Award-winning smoked wings. You can't go wrong with those during football season. Of course, my favorite, the barbecue nachos. Get the combination of chicken and pork on top of with some cheese and barbecue sauce. And make it happen with the John at Neighbors special, because what do they have, Nick?
Yeah, it didn't work, but it is the best catfish on Weddington.
Thank you.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.